This is episode 39 of the Fire Protection Podcast, powered by InspectPoint. Today, my guest is Adam Walker from JCI, or JCI Ansel, actually. Adam's up in the Wisconsin area. JCI and Adam wanted to come on to discuss some of the new waves in restaurant fire suppression, mainly the electronic detection, electronic suppression systems out there that are trying to take hold in the market. We talk about the technology a little bit and just the slow to adopt industry with electronic detection and the Ansel Red system. So it was good to have him on to kind of put that perspective out there and what he sees in the market and what some of the pros and even some of the cons, right? It's more of the adoption than anything. I think the market and the restaurants will be better off with this electronic detection. However, there is some resistance from, not sure who it is, whether it's from the actual, is it price sensitive? Is it distributors not wanting to put them in? But Adam gives a good perspective on that. And we get into it a little bit. We actually started and worked at JCI right around the same time. So really cool to hear his perspective. This coming week, this is actually the second week of March, March 10th and the 11th, the NAFED show is happening. The National Associations of Fire Equipment Distributors in Las Vegas kicks off this week. Next month's in Atlantic City, and then in May, it's in Indianapolis. JCI will be there. They'll have a booth probably discussing Ansel Red and some other technology. InspectPoint will have a booth as well. We'll be hopefully doing some fire protection podcast interviews as well over the three events. And I'll actually be speaking on the second day of NAFED about our reoccurring revenue model and how we see it moving forward. So join us at these events. And if not, see us on the podcast, hopefully live. Thanks again, and hope you subscribe and like. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Thanks again for subscribing.
All right, and we are live. Thanks, Adam, for joining me today on the Fire Protection Podcast. I've been wanting, I've had JCI on a few times. I had Terry Victor on, as well as my buddy Devin O'Leary. So thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to be a part of it and excited.
Yeah, so Adam, Adam and I have been talking for a little bit. You know, there's, I think I talked about this maybe a year and a half ago as well. Adam is the global product manager for restaurant systems for JCI Ansel. And I guess tell everybody who you are, a little background, and we'll kind of get into it.
Yeah, sure. So as you stated, global product manager for restaurant systems for JCI, representing the Ansel and Pyrochem brands. Been with the company in the industry 15 years. I am NICET level 3 certified in special hazards products, and then also principal member on NFPA 96 and also NFPA 1717A. The industry is certainly interesting, and typically one of those that once you join, you don't commonly exit. So career has been great and working for an awesome company.
Yeah. I second that. Once you're in forever for life. this has been, again, electric detection or electronic detection for suppression systems has been, it's in a wide variety of suppression systems, but for some reason, kitchens and kitchen suppression hasn't really taken off. There's a few products out there, including the Ansel Red, which you can discuss a little bit more, but what's the issue with it getting adopted, in your opinion?
Yeah, people are resistant to change, right? They like to stick to a product that's proven, it's been out there a long time, and they commonly know. Electric detection, like you just said, it's really not a new technology, although there's new offerings, right? So we and other manufacturers have offered electric detection for many, many years in different capacities for restaurant systems. But the new product offerings on the market, they offer more intelligence around actuation, detection, supervision, whereas the historical options were maybe less supervision, less specific to restaurant applications. So kind of like an ad hoc, a la carte, put together a system if you're required to have electric detection. And also something that Red offers is a full UL listing on the system, whereas in the past, a lot of the product offerings and some competitors' products are, as I said, an ad hoc. So maybe one product is listed to a certain UL listing and another is UL 300, but they don't really connect the dots. So I think that has caused some resistance and change a little bit historically. But now as people come to realize that electronic is a way of the future, it's better in many fashions and it provides you a lot more real-time data. I think we'll see some progression in that path.
Yeah, and I know what you mean with the slow to adopt and fire protection, right? It's always been an issue, and I think it will continue to be an issue. Is there any, like, you know, I talked to a lot of service providers that do kitchen systems out there. Is it just a comfortability with the technology, or is there a cost component to that as well, or just a skilled labor part of it as well? I don't know. Do you need an electrician to hook any of it up where traditionally you didn't?
Yeah, you know, that's been a common, I'll say, misconception in some fashion. So all of the above, yeah, there's added cost in certain areas and there's lower costs in certain areas, right? So installation time is less because you can install things quicker, run a couple wires instead of wire rope and conduit. And don't get me wrong, all those mechanical offerings are still out there and they're still very proven and reliable. So there's no problem with them. But as we look at, you know, the cost comparison, so you got to bring an electrician. Some products are battery operated on the market. Some are hardwired. All of them have to have electrical shutdown, right? So,
right.
Or have to have fuel shutdown rather, whether that be electrical or gas. And so you have to have some fashion of electric connection, right? You need to have an electrician there to either wire in the panel or wire in the gas valve, et cetera. So the misconception being, well, now I have to bring in another trade. Well, all of the mechanical offerings out there today have what are called micro switches, dry contact switches. They have to do those same connections. Mm-hmm. An electrician has to land those same wires. So it's a little bit different, but not really. You still have to have that trade present. Now, when you look at some of the other interconnections, right, the actual low voltage wiring, so pull stations, detectors, stuff like that, now you're having to bring in an alarm tech, which many companies do have on staff for fire alarm panel connection.
Gotcha. So, all right. So there's still an electrician even on the mechanical side, but there may be just a little bit more work on the electrical side. Maybe that, you know, knowing fire equipment distributors, do they have somebody on staff or do they subcontract it out? Right. So.
Yep, exactly. And it's a horse apiece. I don't want to throw a percentage out there that I don't have.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be 50-50, right? It really depends on the region.
Yep. And especially with a lot of, you know, some consolidation within, you know, suppression contractors and everything. So they're going to be apt to have that staff and have fire alarm expertise on staff. Right. So,
yeah.
So what are the big, I guess, explain, what electronic detection is a little bit, and what sets, you know, the RED apart, and just the different components, you know, compare the electric system versus the mechanical, I guess.
Sure. So obviously electronic, right? The name speaks for itself. And whether you look at our product or you look at other manufacturers' product, in many cases, the suppression side of things is the same. So the nozzles are the same, the agents the same, the tanks, cartridges when present, etc. All that side is virtually identical. There's some tweaks, right? But then when you look at the electronic side of it, that's where it really ties to the detection and actuation. So whether it be pull stations, detectors, triggering of the cartridges, discharging of the agent, etc. It's really where it becomes different. And what are values of it? So when you look at an electronic system and the detectors, they're less prone to grease buildup. There's no mechanical functionality of it. It's all circuitry, right? So wires touch each other or switches snap, depending what type of detector technology you're using. You're not relying on a mechanical thing to operate, and which could be prone to grease. Now, all of that should be cleaned, right? And all those hood cleanings are taking place. We're testing the operation of the system. So it's not that the integrity is better, just less prone for grease buildup as a whole. Then when we look at, you know, what's different about RED to other products, RED offers scalability. So we can protect up to 16 different hazard zones with one system and one centralized display. Wow. Whereas other systems might have more of a central type approach or footprint, maybe just a kitchen or a hood. And then, you know, the other side of electronic offerings that's out there and what's different than mechanical is real-time status and history log, right? So you can go in and you can see, is this system operating? Is everything in a state that it's needed to operate upon when it's called upon? You can go in and see, was somebody in there messing around with the system? The history log tracks every single thing that occurs to it, whether the pull station is pulled, whether it's put into a certain mode, whether a certain detection circuit operates. And on the opposite side of that, right, when you come in and you have a fault or a discharge or a trouble, it's going to tell you what one of those inputs or outputs that issue is on. So you're not having to diagnose a much larger potential problem. It's really right. Telling you exactly what to look at.
Gotcha. Now with 16 zones, so that panel is going to send a signal to fire one of the suppression systems off that protects that specific zone. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's configured. So there's a software tool and it's really takes it from a hierarchy approach. With the hoods being the base level of the hierarchy and a PCU, if present, being the top level of it. Mm-hmm. And you connect different hazards of how they're tied together, whether it be a individual ducted system or a common ducted system. And the software connects those hazards to discharge simultaneously as needed per code, right? So if you have a common duct system, it knows the different hazards it has to fire simultaneously. Maybe you have 2 out of 16 that are sharing a common duct or a PCU, and it knows and has intelligence to say, hey, these need to fire simultaneously. These other ones, I might need to shut down the fuel, and some of them are completely independent and I don't need to do anything with
it. Gotcha. Yeah, that's interesting. What, I guess, where do you see something with that many zones? I guess they're like a really large commercial kitchen, right?
Yeah, commercial kitchens, a lot of hotels will have different cooking, catering, and different floors. And so there's a long distance of wiring that has capabilities to tie it together. Maybe a stadium has several.
Oh, yeah.
Culinary institution. The ghost kitchens that everybody is hearing and talking about, they have multiple hoods, multiple kitchens in one big facility. Tying all that together, it just simplifies things.
Speaking of ghost kitchens, has that phenomenon taken off? Have you? I don't even know where to read on the ghost kitchens, because I talked about it a year and a half ago with probably our good old pal Jamie Knowles, right? And we were talking about ghost kitchens and how it's increasing, but I haven't heard about it recently. So
yeah, you know, I heard that podcast that you did. Great guy, Jamie. We used to work together, right? And
yep.
Great to the industry. Ghost kitchens were something that was kind of a pipe dream, and then it came to fruition, and it continues to grow. So globally, they're being, I'll say, accepted and pushed out. COVID really drove a lot of that, right? People not feeling comfortable to go and sit down in a restaurant, but still wanted the food that they could get without having to make it at home. And right or wrong, I think people are becoming more disconnected socially from one another. And where you used to go have dinner and conversate with others in the restaurant, that's not happening as much. And post COVID, you know, I think these ghost kitchens are going to hang around. People like the efficiency to not cook dinner. They might have sports things to attend for their children or whatever, right? Busy life. Right. And just picking up a meal on the go and eating it when they get home is a great opportunity. I don't think they're going to go away.
No, I don't think so either. And especially with a lot of the, you know, point of sale restaurant applications where you can order a lot easier, you know, whether it's Toast or Uber, you know, Uber's getting into the game now. And, but the ghost kitchen, essentially, if anybody doesn't know what it is, it's essentially a warehouse or a bunch of different style foods together in one spot where, you can order whatever you want, whether it's Mexican, Chinese, Japanese, American, whatever, and they're all cooking and essentially getting delivered, or there's probably some takeout pieces to that too, but it's probably bigger in the metro areas, I'm assuming.
They are, for sure. And that's a really good point that you have, where historically, you know, you would sit down at dinner and you would have one meal. And now as allergies become more prevalent or children want something different, that opportunity is perfect because everybody can order whatever they want from a different cuisine, right? And it's a one-stop shop.
That's interesting. I didn't even think of that. Wait, I need a ghost kitchen in my town.
Yeah. The story used to be, right? You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. And now everybody wants something different.
I'm not going to tell them that. My little guys, at least. It's funny. With the panel, right, you're going to be able to detect a variety of different conditions. Is that connected directly to the fire alarm panel, or is that my idea, all right, you connect it to the fire alarm panel. You have to do that, right? You have to alarm the proper authorities that there's a fire suppression system's going off. But a lot of times the service provider is not going to get that information. Is there a way for them? Are you guys working on connecting it to the internet or connecting it to the service provider so they can react versus they could be proactive versus reactive?
Yeah, you know, so you're right. Current state is local. It doesn't talk outside of the building unless you're connecting to a building system. Certainly has the output ability to tie into any type of fire alarm or building management system, and talk outside of the building. Internet of Things is a great thing, and it also poses a lot of security threats as it relates to whether it be somebody hacking it or other companies accessing it that you don't want to have access to it. So a lot of security protocols around that, looking at opportunities of how we can talk outside of the building, right? And in JCI, we have a lot of electronic offerings on fire alarm panels that do exactly that, right? There's a there's a protocol that it can do. It ties into a certain type of protocol technology to get outside of the building, goes to a database and gives you really a real-time status of, hey, what system needs service? What system is alarming? What system has a trouble? And there's certainly value to that where the distributor could really plan their business around help around what services are due and not have to have as much of their own internal tracking.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to adopt electric detection, how do you adopt the other side of connected to the internet? Right. I think it's a great idea. Even in our software platform where we handle a lot of the inspection, testing and maintenance. And it'd be nice to get alerts from out an outside source because we're kind of the kind of hub of everything. It'd be nice to be able to roll a truck before the fire department even gets there, right? To get them back up, you know, whether it's a false discharge or it's a real issue, to get them back up and running, cooking food again, you know?
Sure.
But maybe the market's not, it doesn't need it. I don't know. So you're on 17 and 17A. Have the codes had to adapt to this technology at all?
No, not really. Early on, I talked, you know, historically, all manufacturers of product have offered in some shape or fashion an electronic detection offering. But the functionality has changed a little bit. So current state, no, I mean, the detection technology that's being used today is still really a contact closure type thing, whether it be an actual contact closure thermal detector or a shorted out linear detection wire. All of that is really still taking place. And when we look at the standards, like I said earlier, also the suppression is still the same, right? So we're modifying the actuation side of things, but the suppression hasn't essentially changed.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Is there a chance? So this is an NFPA 17A. Is this technology being pushed to kind of the dry chem side for 17? Adam, did you hear that?
Sorry, no. you froze up there.
Oh, yeah. No worries. So NFPA 17A, right? This is that's essentially, you know, wet suppression. So on the dry side, are you seeing this? Are you seeing electronic detection in dry chemical applications like gas stations, or is there any opportunity on the dry side for industrial dry chem for electric detection?
Yeah. Also looking at that opportunity, you know, so you alluded to gas stations, our attendant system under the Pyrochem brand, it primarily uses all electric detection, rate compensate, Fenwall, stick detectors.
Yep.
And it goes to like a control panel, which supervises it and then triggers the system. Absolutely opportunity, less scalability opportunity there. Because it's usually a one or two canopy facility, yep. Not going to have, you know, 16 different zones. But then when you look at the other applications for dry chem, so whether it be just an industrial chemical hazard, whether it be a dipping operation or an industrial paint booth application, some of those larger scale have multiple paint booths or dip tanks, and that's where it could be opportunity for sure. But again, it is currently offered under the Pyrochem brand and other competitors that have that same type offering, but more at the ad hoc like the historical restaurant offering.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Because it's a, I mean, I actually didn't know the attendance systems were electronic detection. You see the, you know, the sticks hanging down. I didn't know that. I guess I don't know why I thought it was manual, but it's definitely, you know, those are heat detectors up there.
Yep, indeed.
Speaking of which, are gas station systems transitioning away? I know certain states are, I don't know, and it's probably the convenience store and the oil and gas lobby getting them out of gas stations. Is that a downward trend nationally? And what do you see globally, I guess?
It's a very fluid situation, I would say. Not as frequent as weekly or monthly, but yearly, it seems to change. Okay. Outside of the U.S., very less protected gas station canopies.
Right.
In the U.S., heavy on the East Coast, some on the West Coast, a little bit sprinkled in Central, but not much at all. Right. And New York specifically had a lot of question around yay or nay. And it's very fluid. Like I said, the East Coast, I would say, is the heaviest opportunity area for gas station systems. There's not really a ton of traction around other states adopting it as it sits today. But who knows what the future could bring.
Yeah. It's always on a, I feel like fire code's always sometimes on a tragedy, and you don't see too many in the gas station side. Occasionally see them. I feel like you see more of it, like where, you know, system goes off where it should have, right? And it's putting out the fire from the cameras, and which is really cool to see and seeing it in action. But yeah, I know in New York State, I was pretty close to that New York State kind of getting rid of the requirement for the gas station systems, unfortunately. New York City still has it, but the rest of the state is kind of pushing it out. So,
yep.
What other questions did I have? Oh, so when you have these electric detection systems, is there any, does the kitchen itself or the kitchen staff, is there anything that they, is there any changes on their side? Do they have to know anything different? Because there's obviously a new panel on the wall. There's different detection wire.
No, there's not a lot of changes. There's really the primary one would be a cleaning mode specifically to red, where the kitchen staff or the hood cleaner or the manager can put the system into cleaning mode. And that would select either all zones or specific zones. And essentially what it does is it isolates the detection zone. So the system's still operational via the pull station, but it has less of, so if I step back and, hey, why is that needed? We were running into hood cleaners that were deactivating the system via pulling out a cartridge or putting in a lock pin and then leaving and not resetting the system, right? So we took that into play and we created a functionality that allows them to isolate the detection circuit while they're cleaning so they don't have the risk of a discharge, whether they hit or pull a detection wire, whatever that is. So yeah, that's really the only change in functionality. The other side of what they might see on that display is it's going to tell them a reminder or an awareness, hey, you have a service coming due in 2 weeks or 1 week or whatever they set that threshold at, so that they can plan ahead whenever they're going to be shut down or whatever it might be. And then just any type of supervisory or trouble instances would occur. Other than that, are operationally the same.
Gotcha. Kind of last question that I have is, you know, my pal Trey Norred, down in Louisiana, who's a distributor of yours. And I think he's been an Ansel Red adopter. I know he's trying to get in as many of those systems as possible. But one thing he brought up to me, and I was just asking about and this is not, this is before this podcast, I was intrigued in general, is I think the cost to install is a little bit more. However, on your semi-annual inspection and some of your frequency for ITM, you can cut some costs there because you're not having to change the links out. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The total cost of ownership of the system, you're right. It's a little bit higher at the overall installation. But when you get to the, it's really dependent on the size of the system. The larger the system, the quicker that savings occurs. But right around, you know, the 3 to 6 year mark, depending on the system, you're creating a savings as you look at the total cost of ownership. So you're right. You're not spending more time changing out those mechanical components and also the cost of all those mechanical components. You're instead testing the circuits and validating its operation because it's telling you already, hey, this is all working via the supervision.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that's something to point out is, you know, you get a contract with an electric detection system. You can probably hold that a little tighter because it's, you know, the adoption is not there. Right. So you're going to be stuck with that provider or that system. And I think that's, you know, that's good to lock in the reoccurring revenue. And if you can cut your cost on the inspection and service side, you can make up that cost and then, you know, have that contract down the road. So,
yeah, you know, and to add to that as well, Trey and I have had many conversations around the topic, right? Great ally of Red, and we appreciate the support there. The system also has passcode protection. So again, Red specific, there's value there for both the distributor and also the end user. So the value for the distributor is, like you just stated, locking in that reoccurring revenue. Non-Ansel distributors cannot access the product, meaning they cannot reset the product and say that the service has occurred. So it's going to continue alerting. And on the flip side, the end user is ensured that they're getting the service they paid for by having a quality trained technician in there working on the product, not somebody who just started doing this yesterday or whatever, right? The people touching it are truly trained on the product and know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know it's passcoded, so it locks them in almost like a fire alarm system, which I always go back and forth on whether systems should be more open or more proprietary. But I can argue that on my side.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think the proprietary nature of fire protection systems is good to make sure you have quality people, but I don't like it. Should be more of an open platform, I think, in the industry in general. But manufacturers, they have their way and I see it my way, right?
Yeah, you know, the difference with this one, I think, than fire alarm panels is any company with access or training on the product can access any system. So it's not distributor proprietary. Whereas gotcha. it's locking out the people that don't know the product.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I'm in for that. is there anything else on kitchen suppression that you want to chat about? We'll kind of wrap it up. I got a couple off the wall questions for you here in the quick response round. So,
yeah, you know, I just, as you said, it's slow adoption, right? It's the way of the future. Great product. It'll gain traction here. It's gaining it in certain regions. It's gaining it in certain areas of the globe. And it gives that sense of comfort. And as technology develops, I think we'll see more and more of these electronic offerings and more systems installed globally.
Yeah. And I think it's a good way for the future. There's a lot of benefits to it. And, Yeah, just got to get the word out and push more distributors that way. Speaking of, are you heading to NAFED at all for the fire equipment distributor show?
We will be present. I am unfortunately not attending any of the three, but we will have people from product management here in Marinette, Wisconsin that will be attending.
Nice. That's a good time. I'm speaking at all three NAFED events, and more on the inspection, testing, and maintenance side. But obviously, I make it geared toward the FED, and it's always a good time. Vegas is the big one, and then we've got Indianapolis, I think, in May, and then Atlantic City in April. So that should be good.
Sure. Awesome.
So a couple random questions. I know you're a Green Bay guy. What's your opinion of Aaron Rodgers' hair?
It's funny. So just had this conversation last night, actually. My son is in second grade, and one of his friends was growing a mullet. And they were going on a Disney cruise, and his mom bribed him with some compensation to cut it beforehand. And last night we were talking about how this boy's hair was way better than Aaron Rodgers' mullet. So we'll say, I think he could use a trim.
Yeah, it's getting a little long. Hey, I don't mind long hair. Just make sure it looks all right.
Yep. Looking pretty rough.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. I guess let the audience know where we can find you. If there's any info on the Ansel Red or whatever, you got a few seconds here.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out, Ansel.com. You can find us on there. Reach out to me specifically, Adam Walker, email, phone, call us up. Also, AnselRed.com, great option to go to and learn about the Red product. Some good videos there and a lot of collateral on the product. So, really appreciate the time, Drew. We'll be connecting in the future, and it's been great.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And hopefully I'll see you out on the circuit one of these days at one of these trade shows. So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Thanks again.
I want to thank Adam Walker from JCI Ansel again for coming on the podcast today to talk about restaurant systems and kind of the future of some of the of restaurant systems. They're not that sexy, but Ansel's done a good job making the Ansel Red system and making it a lot easier and beneficial for restaurants to install these and distributors to install these. So again, thanks for tuning in on the podcast today, and see you again soon. Hope to see you at NAFED. Thanks.